The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Andrew Womack Ministries, celebrating 40 years of sharing God's unconditional love and grace. Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack. Today, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's love in his series, The War is Over. Now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm beginning my fourth week of teaching on The War is Over. I tell you, this is a subject that is just so foundational that every Christian, this ought to be Christianity 101. Everybody ought to know this. And yet, the things that we've been teaching are just radically different than our religious doctrines today. You know, I had somebody recently criticize me over using the word religion, and they said that, you know, religion, sure, there's bad religion, but there's good religion. And the word religion, as far as I'm aware, is only used one time in the New Testament. That's in James chapter 1, the last verse. And in that instance, it says pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. And it had to qualify it then. The Bible really does not speak real highly of religion. Here's the way that I'm using that word. Now, this may be my own definition, but here's what I mean when I'm talking against religion. Religion to me is man's attempts to relate to God. And all of man's attempts, some of them may be more noble, might be more consistent with what it should be than others, but if it's man's attempt, they're all going to fall short, and it's infested with wrong doctrines, wrong ideas and stuff. Christianity isn't a religion, it's a relationship. See, religion is man reaching out to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man. Religion is something that man does, offering it unto God, hoping it's enough. Christianity is God saying, you could never save yourself, so I came down and saved you and offers it as a free gift. So I'm not using religion in a positive sense of the word. Maybe I'm misusing it, who knows? But anyway, I'm just trying to clarify that religion today is basically saying that God, you know, Christian religion will sit there and say that Jesus died for your sins, but then they only believe that your sins are forgiven up until the point that you get born again. And then after you're born again, every time you sin, it's a new infraction against God that's got to be dealt with and atoned for and put under the blood. That's a terminology that's used often. And what this does, it builds a sin consciousness. We know that God is almighty, but we doubt his willingness to use his power on our behalf because we don't deserve it. But I've been going through Hebrews chapter 9 and chapter 10 and showing that Jesus, by one sacrifice, gave us eternal redemption, Hebrews 9:12. Not momentary redemption till the next time you sin, but eternal redemption. And Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, Colossians 1:7 says, redemption is the forgiveness of our sins. And so Jesus, through one offering, gave us eternal forgiveness of sins. Not just until the next time you sin. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And I've been saying this over and over. On our program last Friday, we were dealing with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, where it says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all, not once for all people, but once for all time. The context dictates that interpretation. In verse 11, it says, and every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, not just for all people, but one sacrifice for sins for all time, for eternity, he sat down on the right hand of God. The significance there is he's not now anymore making atonement and reapplying his blood. And every time you sin, you got to get it confessed and re-forgiven. No, he's seated at the Father's right hand. Verse 13, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, the emphasis is on one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 10 says you were sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14 says if you've been sanctified, you have been perfected forever. Again, this is so simple. You got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. And yet most people balk at this because it is so contrary to our religious traditions. But I'm saying God's word ought to trump everything else. The truth of God's word ought to be more dominant than the traditions and doctrines of men. I don't care what your church has taught. I don't care what anybody has told you. Here's what the word of God says. And by one offering, Jesus sanctified and perfected you forever. Now, some people see reject this because it's not what they've been taught. Other people will go look in the mirror and they'll say, this is sanctified and perfect. We are perfect forever. This is as good as it's going to get. And they see blemishes and they see baldness or gray hair or they see wrinkles. And, sometimes they just see ugly. Amen. Looking in the mirror and they think this is as good as it's going to get. No, it's not talking about your physical body. Your physical body isn't perfected forever. We are going to receive a glorified body. 1 Corinthians 15 and other passages talk about that. But right now we live in a mortal body, and this mortal will have to be changed into immortal. It is corruptible. It's going to have to be changed into incorruption. Your physical body is not perfect. You are going to, if you are born again, you are going to get a glorified body that'll be able to go through walls like Jesus' glorified body did. You can zip from place to place. It's not going to have the same, it's not going to be corruptible the way this one is. But see, that hasn't taken place yet. So you can't see this in your mirror looking at your physical body. And you also can't perceive it in just your soulish, your mental and emotional realm. And see, this is why some people struggle with this. They say, I'm sanctified and perfected forever. They look in the mirror and, as I said, they don't see perfection. And then they search their emotions and they find wrong attitudes, unforgiveness, depression, discouragement, carnality. And they think, I just can't understand how I'm perfect. But see, there's a third part of you, the spirit. And the spirit is the part that got born again. You can see that clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:17 because it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, just by observation, you can tell that's not talking about your physical body. When you got born again, your body wasn't born again because you still got the same body. If you were fat before you got saved, you're going to be fat after you get saved. It's also not true of your emotional or what the Bible calls the soulish part of you. Because if you were stupid before you got saved, you're going to be stupid after you get saved unless you go to renewing your mind and believing God and changing things. But you don't instantly lose your thoughts. You don't instantly lose your memory. You don't instantly lose your personality. Your body and your soul aren't the part of you that got born again, because it says if you are in Christ, all things pass away, all things are become new. It didn't say all things are becoming new. It says all things are new. It's a done deal. So just by process of elimination, that's not your body, it's not your soul, it has to be talking about your spirit. There is a part of you that can only be discerned through the Word of God. And you in the spirit realm have been sanctified and perfected forever. Here's a scripture that'll verify that. It's in context. Remember again that men are the ones that put the chapter and verse divisions in the Bible for reference. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it's the same letter, it's continuing the same thought. In verse 22, it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Remember the context. This isn't a different letter. It's not a different thought. It's the same author. And he's saying that it is your spirit that is made perfect. So put that back with Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 and 14, that by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Where is this perfection? It's in your born again spirit. And in your spirit, you are perfect. Not just perfect until the next time you sin and then you lose that perfection. No, you have been sanctified and perfected forever. I know that this is nearly too good to be true. And people think, this just can't be. It's because, again, we haven't heard the truth. Very few people are saying this. So therefore, traditions and doctrines of men have more influence over us than what the Word says. And then a second thing, we can't observe this by just looking in the mirror or searching your mental, emotional part. You have to go to the Word of God and hold the Bible up like a spiritual mirror. And if you want to see what your spirit is like, you can't go by how you feel. You can't go by your conscience. That's a part of your soul that can be defiled. You can have a corrupted conscience, a defiled conscience. You have to go by what the Word says. And the Word says that you have been sanctified and perfected forever. It also says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, that once you believed, you were immediately sealed with the Holy Spirit. You were vacuum packed. The part of you that got born again, the moment you confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord, all of your sin was forgiven, wiped out, and you were given this pure, born again person that according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, old things passed away, all things became new. Before salvation, you had a spirit that was dead to God, dead in trespasses and sins. But when you got born again, you were given a spirit that old things had passed away, all things had become new. And according to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, speaking of Jesus, so are we in this world. We aren't like Jesus in our physical body. It's not changed yet. We aren't like Jesus in our thoughts, in our mental, emotional part yet. But in your spirit, old things passed away, all things became new. You became identical to Jesus. In your spirit, you are perfect and truly holy. And then Ephesians 1:13, you are sealed, vacuum packed. The moment you got this pure Holy Spirit, it was instantly sealed. And if you sin as a Christian, that sin enters into your physical body and it gives Satan inroad against you to do things physical. You could get sickness. If you go out and commit sin, you could be thrown in jail. If you sin, it gives Satan an inroad into your soulish realm. It can discourage you and defeat you and cause depression and grief and sorrow. But that sin doesn't penetrate the seal that is around your spirit. Your spirit remains holy and righteous and pure. And since John 4:24 says God is a spirit and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, then once you are born again and you receive this sanctified and perfected spirit once and for all, and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, even though you sin, that sin doesn't penetrate that seal, so you are able to go right in and worship God in spirit and in truth. In your flesh, you might be defiled. In your flesh, you might be in jail because you broke a law. In your flesh, you might be divorced because you committed adultery and you're suffering from it. In your flesh, you might have been a pastor and now you are disgraced and you're out of the pastorate because you've done things wrong. And so that sin could cost you and cause sexually transmitted diseases and cause you to suffer and hurt you financially. And there could just be all kinds of physical and emotional problems. But if you were truly born again, your spirit was sealed with the Holy Spirit. God is a spirit and He's looking at you in the spirit and you can come before Him in the spirit just as if you had never sinned. That spirit is sanctified and perfected forever. Man, that's good news. I tell you what, I'm not much of a shouter, but that nearly makes me want to shout. That is good news. That'd put a shout in a corpse. That's awesome. And yet some people think, if you believe this, what's going to keep people from sinning? You know, that question in the first place is just, it shows a person has never served God out of love. They've never done it because they love God. They serve God out of fear. But I tell you, love is a stronger motivation. If you understand what I've said today, if you really see that God has forgiven you of all of your sins and you've been sanctified and perfected forever in the Spirit, you are perfect. If you could understand that, it would make you so in love with the Lord, so thankful that He didn't just temporarily forgive you until the next time you messed up and put all of the burden on your back of getting every sin confessed and doing everything right. It would make you so thankful. You would fall so in love with the Lord that you would serve the Lord more accidentally through grace than you've ever served Him through fear and punishment before. You know, it's like in a marriage. When you really love a person, you are faithful to them. You know, I love my wife and I'm faithful to my wife. And I don't have to, when I see a pretty woman walk by or if somebody was to, you know, try to entice me, I don't have to sit there and just, you know, grab hold white knuckle and say, oh God, help me to resist. Because you know what? I love my wife. And I would never do anything to hurt my wife. I'd never be unfaithful to my wife. Love causes me to live a holy life. Love causes me to be faithful to her. You know, I've never committed adultery. I've never gone there, not in my mind or in my body. But I would suspect that a person who commits adultery doesn't really love their wife. They might use that term and say, oh, yes, they love them. But you know what? They really love themselves. They're out to satisfying and gratifying themselves more than the other person. I just could not imagine doing something like that. If I did that, I'd have to cease loving my wife, or I'd have to just, for somehow or another, push that out of my mind and not think about it. But if I was thinking about my wife, Jamie, I guarantee you I'd never commit sexual sin because I love her. It's the love of God that constrains me to live holy. It's not just fear. If you're serving God out of fear, then you're going to sit there and say, well, man, if I no longer felt like God was going to punish me and judge me, well, then I'd just go live in sin. Well, you know, you got a sorry relationship with God. Man, forgive me for being blunt, but you've got a very sorry relationship with God. You're serving Him out of fear. You're serving Him like a slave would. Man, I'm no longer a slave. I've been elevated to a position of sonship. I love God. I know that God loves me. And you know, I can just use my own personal life as a testimony to this. Some people think, well, boy, people are going to take what you say and just go live in sin. You're just giving them a license to sin. Well, in the first place, people are sinning pretty good without a license. Amen. The old fear-based thing where you were trying to condemn people and you're going to lose your salvation or God won't bless you and God won't answer your prayer and God won't fellowship with you if you live in sin, that's being preached everywhere and it's not working. Man, Christians are living in sin. So, you know what? It's not like that the fear motivation is really keeping people in check. And I can take my own personal testimony and say that when the Lord showed me His unconditional love for me and I started responding, it didn't make me want to go live in sin. You know, there's a scripture in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Verse 2 says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And verse 3 says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. You know, it says every man that has this hope, the hope of being like Him, and when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Every man that is born again seeks to purifies himself even as he is pure. Now, you may be doing a poor job of it because actually, if you are under this sin consciousness that I'm preaching against and that is so pervasive in the body of Christ today, sin consciousness actually makes you live in sin more. That doesn't sound like that's true, but it is true. The more you preach against adultery, the more people will commit adultery. The more you preach against sin, the more people will commit that sin. You know, as we go on through this series, I'm going to show you scriptures and we'll deal with that. But you may be living a sorry life because if you're under condemnation in religious teaching, it is actually weakening you and causing sin to come alive. That's the purpose of the law. So you might not be manifesting this purity, but if you are truly born again, every man, every woman, every person who has truly been born again has a desire to live for God. And finding out the truth that all of your sin has been forgiven and that God loves you will not set you free to go live in sin. It'll set you free from the condemnation and the guilt over the sin you have committed, and you will live a holier life accidentally than you've ever lived on purpose before. And that's my testimony. Again, some of you are sitting there saying, boy, you're just preaching this greasy grace. Well, you know, at the time I'm making this program, I'm 59 years old. I've never taken a drink of liquor. I've never smoked a cigarette. I've never used profanity. I've never done any of those things. I'm 59 years old, and I've lived a holier life than probably anybody, or certainly the vast majority of people watching this program. I guarantee you, I live a more disciplined life. I probably study the Word more. I probably pray more than most of you. You cannot look at me and say that grace has caused me to go live in sin. If you take what I'm saying and say, boy, Andrew is preaching grace, and so he's just encouraging people to live in sin. I'm quoted as that. I got kicked off of a series, a whole network of radio stations because the manager said that, and I talked to him on the phone. And I gave him this exact logic, and I said, look at my life. It's not that way. And yet he said, you're encouraging people to live in sin. If you're saying that, you are either just putting your head in the sand and not listening to what I'm saying, because I am not encouraging that, or you are out and out lying, one of the two. But I am telling you that understanding grace doesn't cause you to go live in sin. Matter of fact, over in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared unto all men, verse 12, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously in this present generation. The grace of God teaches you to live righteous and holy in a separate life. Grace doesn't lead you into sin. Grace will actually break the dominion of sin over you. And I know that some of you, this is just hard to understand because it's so contrary. We've been taught that if you preach grace and don't put fear in people and don't tell them that God's angry at them, they'll live in sin. But I'm telling you that revealing God's love to people will captivate their heart, and people will live holier through love than they've ever lived through fear. The Old Testament law was a ministration of fear. The New Testament grace is a ministration of love. And by and large, the church today is not preaching the New Testament motivation. They are still under the old covenant, putting people under a sense of guilt and unworthiness. And every time they sin, they're relationship with God is in jeopardy, and they've got to constantly be in this state of repentance and sin consciousness. I'm saying that's not the message of the New Testament. And you know what? There's still a lot more to share. I'm not through with this yet. So I encourage you to join me again on our program tomorrow as I continue through this. You know, I'm going to offer you a special offer today in addition to everything else that we're offering. I've talked a lot about spirit, soul, and body, and I've got a book on that, and we'll make that a special offer today. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information about how you can get all of the materials we're offering as well as this book on spirit, soul, and body. And then join me again tomorrow as I continue this teaching on The War Is Over.
The War Is Over is available for the very first time in book form. In 190 power-packed pages, Andrew reveals how to stop struggling with sin and begin to realize God's unconditional love. This new book can be ordered through bookstores nationwide, or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book T326 when you write or call, or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. The War Is Over Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request Study Guide T426 when you contact the ministry. This teaching is also available in a five-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1053C or DVD album T1053D. The third teaching in the audio CD album titled Once for All Eternity is also available. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number TK130 when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
You know, I've got a new book out on The War is Over. It's in English and Spanish, and then I've got this workbook, and we've got all of these materials on The War is Over. But today I talked a lot about spirit, soul, and body is the title I've given that teaching, about how it's your spirit that has been changed. And I know that this is a new revelation to you, and I've got a lot more material than what I was able to share today. So in addition to everything else, we've got this special offer on spirit, soul, and body. You'll need to ask for it, but if you would call, our people answering the phones could give you the information. And this would be a perfect supplement to what we've been teaching. So listen as our announcer gives you all that information, and then call or write today.
You can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Or you can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries of Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be at the Arizona Biltmore Resort in Phoenix for a Gospel Truth Seminar January 1st through the 3rd, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance February 5th through the 7th. He'll also be in Houston, Texas, February 12th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, March 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me on January the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our Phoenix, Arizona Gospel Truth Seminar, January 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in Phoenix, Arizona.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.